welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Visit the Northeast of Scotland podcast with me, your host, Jacqueline Bonnacker. In this episode, we're speaking with one of Aberdeenshire's very talented chefs, Ross Cochrane, who's the executive chef at Ballater's The Rothsay Rooms and The Carriage. Ross has spent the last 17 years developing his talents in hotels and restaurants in Scotland. After winning the Northeast Chef of the Year in 2017, he took over the Rothsay Rooms and continued to develop the restaurant's wonderful reputation. Aberdeenshire is produce rich, and Ross works closely with local suppliers to ensure the best of the region reaches his plates. Being able to give visitors the tough choice of what to order when visiting the restaurant is something that he enjoys. It goes to show the diverse and special ingredients he can find close to the restaurant. His ambition is to continue to work with his team to establish the Rothsay Rooms on the Scottish food map as an outstanding venue. Considering they have already won the Northeast Restaurant of the Year a few years running, this shouldn't be a tough task. Good afternoon, Ross, and thank you for having us here at the Rothsay Rooms in Ballater. In today's episode, we're going to speak about one of my favourite topics, and I think it's the favourite topic of most people, and that's food and drink here in Aberdeenshire. We know that you've been in hospitality for quite a few years, and you're currently the executive chef at the Rothsay Rooms and at the Carriage Cafe and Bistro. Could you give us a bit of an introduction of how you found yourself in the world of hospitality and how you developed your skills to become the executive chef here?
It all started when I was about 18 and I hadn't found my feet on what I was going to do. I'd done a few things before 18, an apprentice joiner and an apprentice tiler. But usual 6 months in, I just seen myself, this is not what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So it was just a random phone call to a company in Aberdeen, right next door to a famous hotel called the Markcliffe, which was run by Shell, and it was a private members club, and they were looking for a commis chef. So I just phoned, spoke to someone, and got an interview. And then I got a second interview. A year later, I was still there, and realised that obviously this is something that's stuck with me. So looked into college, and then that's when I started going to college on a day release, one day a week, and then working 5 days a week. And then after that, I just kind of got the bug for it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like going to work, it was just like getting up. That's what you've done, because enjoyed it.
Did you start at Aberdeen College as it was at that point?
Yeah, so we've done the day release for professional cookery, level 2, and then progressed on to level 3. And that was 2 years working and going to college. And then that was kind of like after the first year and a half, 2 years, I moved on from Woodbank House and moved to restaurant just along the road, but it was just a restaurant. I was doing a bit more finer food, and then I met a chef there who was from London, who had moved up here. I'm pretty sure it was something to do with a girl he was here, but we'll leave that for another day. But he suggested I get out of Aberdeen and go to London and see what else is out there, so that's what I did. So I ended up just looking on a split shift one day, looking at jobs, and I came across the Gordon Ramsay site. That's how I ended up in London. Mm-hmm. So I applied for a job online there, and then I got a call about a week later and invited down for a day interview and then a trial the next day. So it was like a 2-day thing. So I think I was 20 years old. I had an 18-month-old daughter. So it was like, we're going to...
Quite a tough thing to do. Yeah.
It was. But I think at the time when I was like offered a interview, like this thing, it was massive for me, so I was like, let's go and we'll deal with whatever comes after. So I think when I went down to London, and it was the most bizarre, I'd never been to London before in my life, so it was like the most bizarre thing I'd ever done. Got the sleeper train down from Aberdeen, knives, change of clothes, got into Waterloo, and then it was just, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Yeah. It was so busy. So we got through that and then went up to the day interview. Sat in a room with about 16 other chefs, all around a table. It was Gordon Ramsay headquarters just next to Buckingham Palace. And then we filled in our form and it was like the offer of where do you want to go and do your trial the next day, which I wasn't aware of. I just thought I'd applied for Claridge's. So I was like, right, that's where I'm going. The offers were there to go to Royal Hospital Road, 3 Michelin Star. And at the time, I believe it was either number one or number... It was in the top 5 restaurants in the world, that's for sure. Which kind of spooked me a bit. So I kind of stuck to what I was going to down for.
Okay.
And went to Claridge's.
Yeah.
So the next day, I went and done my trial and sat down at the end of it with Mark Sargent, who used to be executive chef, and he offered me a job there and then as a commie. He did warn me. He did say, like, you need to think about this before you go home back to Aberdeen.
It's a huge change.
A huge, huge jump, but
yeah.
You sat there with when the best chefs in Britain offering you a job, it's kind of hard to say no. So
yeah.
I kind of already made my mind up by the time I got back to Aberdeen. So the plan was for me to move down for a month, and then my partner at the time and my daughter would move down, but London's eat you up and switch you out, to be honest. So I was back within the 2 months and back in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
It was a brutal eye-opener for me. But I'm glad I've done
it.
Yeah. So I had like the London experience for 2 months, and then I came back and I found myself flipping burgers because there was no jobs at the time when mm-hmm. I came back. The chef that interviewed me just said that I had more qualifications than him, and he'd been a chef 40 years. And he's like, but all I've got for you is the night shift, basically flipping burgers. I had to take it. I think I was there a few months, and then someone else better came along. And that's when I stuck to restaurants and hotels. And
mm-hmm.
not that I've not flipped a burger since, but
they're a higher quality burger.
Yeah, they are.
Now that you're the executive chef at the Rothsay Rooms and the Carriages here in Ballater, can you tell us more about both venues and their histories?
How it all came about is the restaurant opened in 2016, but they had a chef up here from London who was a consultant. The plan was the restaurant itself would only open for a year as a pop-up to generate business for the local residents after Storm Frank. So I hadn't heard of the Rossi Rooms, and it was just by coincidence that I would enter Chef of the Year, the North East Chef of the Year 2017, and I had won it that year, and the Rossi Rooms had also won Restaurant of the Year. The manager at the time was a previous manager that I had worked with who'd been trying to get in contact with me for a few months because this chef that was here was due to go back to London. So that's kind of how I came out to Ballater. To be honest, I'd never been to Ballater apart from when I was a small child. When I did come out, I was a bit unsure what I was walking into. But then when I came in, I was like, walked into the restaurant, it was all traditional, tartan and very well decorated. And it was like, well, I'll have a look around. And then that was it. So that's how I came into the Rothsay Rooms. And then we kind of just had a transition period where there was two head chefs here, so it was quite awkward.
Tricky,
at times.
Yeah.
Because he'd obviously built it up from scratch and I was coming in to take over. For anybody, it's quite difficult. 3 weeks was quite a long time, and then I took over, put my own twist on things. Kept the same standard, kept pushing to refine everything and
mm-hmm.
just get my own take on what I'm doing. And then I think it was about 8-9 months in, the old station had previously burnt down, and the person who was behind it pulled out halfway through its refurb. So then we stepped in as a foundation and took that on,
mm-hmm.
and then they offered me the position to oversee both of them,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. So I kind of took that on, started that from scratch. It was an absolute shell of a place, so it was good to kind of have that.
There's some similarities in terms of style and decor and quality and level of service, but the menus are obviously quite different between the two.
The bistro was kind of very much more relaxed and family orientated, where the restaurant is a little more fine dining, special occasion kind of restaurant. But again, we have families coming here all the time as
mm-hmm.
kids. We just have to adapt. And if the kids are happy to eat a steak, and lucky them. You know, so
my son would be very happy to
eat
a steak.
Yeah, a lot of, surprisingly, kids these days are eating scallops and steaks at 10 years old.
Yeah, it's not the chicken nuggets that it used to be.
Turkey Twizzlers. but now they're all relatively a really high standard. The decor is very high. They try to keep it as close to what the original decor
mm-hmm.
was. So it is. It's a lovely, lovely building. And equally, here is, obviously. This used to be a high-growth shop where
okay.
we sat, and now we've turned it into a private dining room.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
It's nice to have a separate space
yeah.
where you can have family function. We've mentioned that there's a very high standard here in the Rossi Rooms and that it's high quality food. And to that, I'd like to also mention that you are listed in the Michelin Guide. And the Michelin Guide describes the Rossi Rooms as having seasonal dishes which are classically executed and full of flavour. So how have you developed the menu to be able to maintain your Michelin listing, or did you develop the Rossi Rooms to get that listing?
I think it was a blend. Obviously, the standard was kind of set, it was open, and it was always going to be local produce sourced as close as possible to the restaurant. The Michelin Guide obviously came and before I arrived, and then they awarded the Michelin recommendation, and they've been back twice since. So we've just kind of kept it. I suppose the standard of the food has gone up. It's just all about what we use. We use local produce. We try and find all the local suppliers that is close to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of just kept like the first, like what we set out to do. We've got a great source here from Balmoral to Crathay. So we've got everything on our doorstep, so it's quite mm-hmm. it's quite good to keep that level standard.
It must be something you're very proud of, though, to be in a small community like Ballater to still be listed in the Michelin Guide.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of like what we get up every morning to do, is just to push to make sure the standard never drops, if not gets better. But yeah, for a small place like Ballater to have a restaurant of this standard is good. It's good to have my name on the door, mm-hmm. as in like it is associated with myself now. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people travelling out from Aberdeen. It's really good. We've got great connections around.
Well, that's actually segueing into the next question that I had, is the Northeast is very much an agricultural region. There are a huge number of food producers and growers in the area. Have you been able to choose some really specific things from the region that highlight the products that we have available?
I've went out and looked all the suppliers, met with gamekeepers, and we've got rare breed pork from Balnalp Farm, which is 7 miles from here. So like I've met them, I've been on the farm, so it's kind of good to have that personal touch. Mm-hmm. The gamekeeper from Balmoral Estate, so I stay in contact with him. All the fish is Peterhead landed, so we get it from there. There's a little place in Afford, there's all our lamb, so they're really well looked after. Again, we've been there, we've had butchery days there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just building up a reputation with producers as well. We know if they phone it, like if I phone them, I know what I'm going to get from them.
Yeah.
And vice versa. They like to see their stuff on the menu.
Yeah.
Again, associated with the Rossi Rooms, Michelin Guide and stuff like that. So it all kind of works together.
It's important for them to know that their product that they've taken such care over is going to be appreciated and used in a way that shows the product as well.
Everything from the lamb, beef, scallops is all handled. We get it in as cold as we can. Scallops hand-dived in the shell, they're still alive when they get here. So yeah, everything is like the highest standard that we can get.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have such a good array of suppliers.
There is. Are you working with any producer that's doing something that you think is quite special or different from what you might be able to get elsewhere?
The pork that we get in Crathay is, they're quite new, and they've only been on the go for maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of one of the first people to get involved with them. Rare breed pork that they've got up there, piglets right through, you can see the whole process. That's actually one of the first negative things I've had on my social media, because obviously I went to the farm and I took photos of the piglets.
Yeah.
And then obviously time goes by, the piglets grow up and come back to me.
And then it's on a plate.
And then it's on a plate. Yeah. So that was my first negative social media post when I had it. Like, I just thought it's good to follow, you know,
For a lot of people, that is an important thing to realise, that, you know, that there is a high welfare product.
And it's getting looked after, and that's what they're bred for at the end of the day, you know. But you can't keep everybody happy.
Do you consider the food history of the region when you develop menus? I think I saw from your social media that over the summer you've been doing a bit of menu development. Have you thought about the regional history and the dishes? Does that influence your choices?
I mean, we look at what's in season, really, and that's kind of that helps me. I pick out what's Ballater famous for. You know, like obviously we're famous for the Balmoral venison,
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of always something that will come up time of year. You know, you're surrounded by stag heads in the restaurant, so that's that is definitely something the history of Ballarat is on the menu. That was the first dish I put on whilst I was still going through the change with the old head chef. We got a whole venison from Balmoral, and minus the saddle, because that goes to the house every year, so we don't get the saddle, but we got everything else. So I had to pick. I had to put a dish on, and one of it was it's just a braised shoulder tureen, loads of pickled mushrooms, roasted cauliflower, leek ash and stuff. So that was kind of like my stamp, because everything was very traditional, very like as it was, but so this was a bit more modern to come to the restaurant.
Yeah.
But using the same produce. So the venison.
Presenting it in a different way. Yeah.
So
am I right in thinking you've been in hospitality about 17 years. Certainly it's my experience, I think, that tastes and the way we expect restaurant food to be presented has changed quite a lot over that time. Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Aberdeen's a difficult one because it seems to be the last city on the planet that wants to change. For me, I've been cooking 17 years, and from when I started cooking, you can still go somewhere in Aberdeen and find the same food that I was putting out 17 years ago, which is disheartening because, like, Aberdeen's the third biggest city in Scotland. It should be moving with the times, but it seems to be stuck. So it's difficult to try and, see food trends. There's a handful of places kind of do move and they do different things. But, yeah, you'll still find a chicken Balmoral somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, or a good, stogies or something like that.
Not at all.
If you were to create a plate of food, which, in your opinion, was the epitome of highlighting the produce that we have in Aberdeenshire, what would that look like to you? I know you've won a couple of awards in the last few years. You mentioned the National Game Chef of the Year, which you won, was it last year?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, and then the Scottish Seafood Pride of Plate as well.
Yeah.
So were those either game or seafood feature on your Aberdeenshire plate?
I think, to be honest, they'd be on the plate somehow. I mean, like, venison plays a big part, any game plays a big part in the menu here, and again, that Pride of Scottish plate of food was a shellfish dish, so you've got scallops, you've got venison, two high-end products, so they definitely would. We try and focus on trying to get the best out of everything, so we offer a tasting menu, so that's kind of where we take all our favourite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in one little menu so that everybody can get a taste. Normally in the summer when we've got a lot of tourists coming in and they can be like, oh, we don't know. Because I like to think that what my menus do is give people a challenge to pick what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I write my menus based on what I personally think that people will enjoy. So I kind of want them to be like, oh, I don't know what to have. And then that way we know we've done something right with the menu, and also they can go to the tasting menu and be like, well, you can actually have a little bit of everything. So like venison, scallops definitely are always kind of on the menu. Whatever the season is, scallops will be there somehow.
So can I cast your mind back to when you were younger and living at home? Did you have a favourite meal that you would always go to, a comfort meal?
My dad was a really good cook. Like, he used to be a chef. He would always, like, anything he made was always kind of tasty. But if it wasn't coming out of the oven, it was actually something made. It usually had something to do with Italian cooking. He worked a lot in Italian when he was in Glasgow. So, like, a lot of his food was, like, pastas, or I think a go-to meal for me as a child, a really good bowl of pasta, whether it be bolognese or carbonara. And I suppose a lot of my menus have got Italian influences. The garnishes always stick to the same meat and the veg and stuff, but then, like, the garnish, there's always a lot of raviolis or cannelloni or gnocchi. I just don't know why. I think it goes really well with Scottish food, so. But yeah, as a child, I think pasta was kind of the go-to thing. Still is, actually. I had a bowl of pasta last night for dinner, so.
With a venison ragu.
Yeah, well, is it nowadays we can afford to get some of the nicer stuff. The Kraft macaroni.
What can visitors to Aberdeenshire and to the area expect in terms of food and drink offering available here in the northeast?
I think the offering in Aberdeenshire, I think it's a lot better than the city, to be honest. I think for quality, the Shire stands out a lot more. Restaurants and there's a lot more distilleries and stuff like that. Whiskey, gin. Got like 3 gin places just in about 25 mile radius of here. So,
yeah.
I mean, that and whiskey alone, and then obviously the food. We've got the best kind of the best game, the best shellfish in the world. So on social media now, like I'll see chefs down in London, two Michelin star, and they're getting their stuff from up here. So yeah, it's good like having that on our doorstep every day. A lot of people take it for granted, got that, but I think the Shire does offer a lot of the finer things in life. Whereas the city is a bit more of a like.
If you timed it right, if you planned it in advance, which we all have to do now anyway, you could do some really fantastic routes through the whole of Aberdeenshire and plan your lunches and dinners in some fantastic restaurants and cafes.
I think so. I think, obviously, going back into Aberdeen, but even, over the Glen Shee and stuff like that, there's little places dotted about all the way up. And then you've got, Doonside as well, here, Fife, there's loads of places you could spend a good week just travelling, lunch and dinner, if you've got the time.
Is there anything you would recommend that people should try at least once in their life?
It's quite a difficult one. I think, food-wise, any dish that's got truffle. Fresh truffles, for me, are, the best. So, any dish that I see that's got truffle on it, or... it's not even the most expensive kind of cuts of meat, it's more the cheaper cuts, like braised cheek. Like for me, braised cheek, truffle, ravioli.
Big flavour things, yeah.
That kind of stuff people need to try. Sweetbreads, a lot of people are a bit scared of sweetbreads.
Yeah.
I think they're amazing. So I think everybody should definitely try sweetbreads at some point in their life.
So you've worked in quite a few nice restaurants, and before we started the interview, you mentioned you've even travelled to Newcastle just to go somewhere for dinner. I'm assuming you've tasted some amazing things. If you were to go out for a meal in Aberdeenshire, where would you go?
I think if I wasn't coming to my own restaurant, I would definitely go to...
A busman's holiday.
Yeah, I'd definitely go to probably Doonside. I mean, the food, I've been before, and the food is really good. They've got quite a few accolades as well. They've got 3 rosettes, and the food is definitely worth the visit, for sure.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to kind of talk about or mention that I might not have asked about in terms of food and drink in the area, or even your own experiences or goals or aspirations that you might have for the next few months?
We were expecting the AA guide the end of last year, and we were kind of making an appearance this year at the start of the year. So we are kind of for the chefs that are in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They're really the AA guide and blah blah blah. For me, I don't mind it, but it's more for the guys, and more for it's a good tool for attracting new staff as well.
Yeah.
If we don't stand out, then we're just another restaurant. What's going to make the next best thing come? I want to work in Ballater for the. So I think for next year we'd really looking to push. I mean, we're currently restaurant of the year Northeast. We have been 3 years in a row. So I mean, we'd hopefully retain that again because obviously all the awards were cancelled this year. So I think hopefully next year we can get everything kind of dusted down and go back, and I think just putting us on a bit more of the Scottish map, to be honest. We're pretty well known now in Aberdeen. There's a lot of people come out from Aberdeen, but I think to push it a bit further and get recognised, that would be something.
Thank you for sharing with us your stories and insights about some of the amazing produce and certainly the offering that you have here at the Rossi Rooms. And thank you for hosting me here at the Rossi Rooms as well. I'd like to remind everyone who's listening that information will be available on our blog posts, and links to the Rossi Rooms and a number of things that we might have spoken about today will be posted on our blog post, so that you can come and make your reservations at the Rossi Rooms as well. And thank you for speaking with me again, Ross, and good luck.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you very much.